So, we got an exit here, an exit here, an exit right there. If you pull up the garage, that counts as an exit. There's also a ladder that goes all the way to the top of the roof in the closet. If you can handle that, I'll count that as an exit. So that's five. Five exits, all right? Now, this is not a fire drill, okay? And your seat is not a flotation device. But you've got five ways out of here. Five ways out of here. Now, before you leave today, I don't know if you're going to In-N-Out with friends. I don't know if you're going to the 12 p.m. service with your family, or you're just hanging in the lounge, you're ordering a pizza, and you're hanging out. Before you go through one of these five doors or ladders, I hope you walk out of here with some hope, and I hope you walk out of here with some lifted burdens today. This is an amazing weekend across mission. This is an amazing weekend across mission. We're doing this Courage series, and that's why you're wondering, man, where did everyone get those shirts? The mission as a whole is kind of celebrating this season of courage, and today is a good one. Today is going to be great, and so as we get going, just go to Matthew chapter 11 and put your finger there. We're not going to dive in just yet, but go to Matthew 11 and put your finger right there. And I love singing, like especially that last song. It's just kind of like a bunch of true statements, you know, and I hope as you were singing that, you're almost kind of like nodding your head and agreeing with those words, not just singing it. I love singing. I actually did a little bit of worship leading in the past. That's what I was doing before this job. And so, like, I love worshiping God with music. It's right here for me. But sometimes that we forget that, like, when we open a book, when we open the Bible, that's worshiping God, and it's worshiping God even in a different way. Because the more that you know about God, the more that you know about Jesus, and you read about him, and you kind of learn his ways, you learn who he is, then you got more reason to worship him. Because if you know more about him, then there's more reason to. Like, you find out just another fun fact about Jesus that you didn't know before. You're like, all right, cool. You're right. I got more reason to worship him now than I did before. And, like, the more you know about a person, the more you like them. Or you dislike them. The more you find out about someone, you're like, ooh, okay. I did not know that before. The more you find out about maybe your role model or your hero. I don't know if it's a celebrity. I don't know what your guys' role model is. Maybe it used to be someone, and now it's not because you find out like they punched baby pandas at the zoo. All right, maybe you're just like, oh, maybe you just find out that that's their thing, okay? And you're like, no more. Next role model, next celebrity. Maybe that was their thing, all right? Maybe you find out, oh, you know what? This guy is actually a down-to-earth guy. I thought he was just all about being in the media, and then I saw this interview with him. He seems super chill. He seems super cool. I like that guy. Maybe we do that. Like if there's someone that we look up to, or there's someone that we want to maybe start, I don't know, acting like, we'll do a little bit of research. We'll follow them and all this. And that's what we do in the Bible with Jesus, okay? We look at who Jesus is. And we don't just, like, find out more that we like about Jesus. We find out more why we want to follow Jesus. And I guarantee you, if you open up the Bible and you start reading him, there's not one thing you're going to find that you don't like about him. There's not a passage in there where he's punching baby pandas, all right? There's not one. He doesn't like pigs very much, as we learned last week. He threw 6,000 demons in pigs, and they ran off a cliff and died. He's not a big fan of pigs, I guess. But there's not one thing in the Bible where you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I would have done it that way, Jesus. Maybe there is. Maybe there is, but that's because we're different than Jesus. Jesus is perfect. We're not. Jesus does things that we wouldn't do because we maybe haven't been to that place spiritually yet. And so as we look into the Bible today, there's going to be something that's going to pop out, hopefully something that particularly catches our eye. And it's one of the most amazing things about him. And before we do that, let's pray. Jesus, as we learn about you and as we open up the Bible, God, we want something to pop out maybe that didn't before. If we're reading a couple of sentences here, maybe there's a phrase or even a word that all of a sudden is in bold. Maybe it's in like size 72 font and it just like sticks. God, we ask for that today. We ask that your spirit would just move. In your name we pray. Amen. So one of the most important things that Jesus ever said is about rest. It's about rest. He said a lot about heaven. He said a lot about loving someone else. He said a lot about sin. But he says something that's particularly important and a game changer. And it's about rest. If you have your finger still there in Matthew chapter 11, turn there and go to verse 28. And if you didn't bring a Bible or you didn't grab one that's up here at the front or in the back, we're going to throw it on the screen here in a second. And if you have one of these as well, might be a good one to take notes on. We have these throughout the whole room. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So in this first verse that we see, it says, "Come to me." Come to me. I'm going to divide this into kind of three miniature sections. And this first one is Jesus' invitation. He says, "Come to me." If you like to take notes or whatever, circle, highlight, underline me. He's saying, "Come here." And he's talking, he's not just talking to one or two disciples. He's traveling somewhere. Who knows who he's talking to? He might be traveling on a road and he's like, "All right, listen up. Come to me. Come to me." The focus, he wants the focus to be on him. And it always has been in his whole ministry and in his whole life. He calls himself, "I'm the bread of life." He's like, if you don't want to ever be hungry again, he's speaking in metaphor, you can find it here. He says, "If anyone is thirsty, then come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me won't be ever thirsty again. And he'll have streams of living water flowing through him," in John 7. And then he says in the next chapter, John 8, "I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you're never going to walk in darkness." And then finally, I'm ditching the metaphors. I'm just going to say it how it is. I'm going to get black and white here. He says, "I'm the only way to God." And this is zing hitting the Jews right where it counts. He's like, "I'm the only way to God, and I'm not afraid to say it." Because in this time, in this culture, if anyone said that, dead man. And Jesus is like, I don't need a metaphor here, people. If you're not getting through to me, if the bread one didn't work, if the thirsty one didn't work, I am the only way to God the Father. And people didn't like that at all. That's why they wanted to kill him. Because these religious elites, these Pharisees and everyone, they didn't get it. It's as if they didn't literally watch him heal a blind man or throw those 6,000 demons into pigs. And they're like, I don't know if that statement holds weight. I'm not really sure. Hey, let's kill him. So Jesus is just going after town and town and town and telling people, "Listen, all these miracles are just like a sign, a billboard sign for you to understand I am the only way to God." And he wasn't a self-centered, arrogant, like, jerk. He was just like, "No, that's the true answer." Verse 28 says, "Come to me. Take my yoke," in 29. And then it says, "Learn from me." If anything, Jesus is just banging on the door of all these guys' hearts and saying, "You got to let me in. I am banging on the door of your heart, and just open it. Let me in." Because it's an invitation. He's not forcing it on them. He's not going in there and like rewiring their hearts and making them all robots. He's just saying, "Let me in. Will you accept this invitation?" So here's the invitation. And then if you keep going, we find out, man, who's invited? Who's on Jesus' guest list? This is the second part. Who is invited? says, come to me if you're weary and if you're burdened. Come to me if you're weary and if you're burdened. I'm not really sure where he is in this scene. I tried to find it, and I couldn't really pinpoint an exact location. Good chance he's traveling. Good chance he's maybe in a town, and there's a bunch of people around, and he's saying, come to me if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you just had enough. If you feel like you can't do it anymore. If you feel like this is it, I'm on my last straw, come here. Because this culture in this time, they were all about performance. They were all about getting that gold star. Every compliment, every act of kindness, here's another gold star. And then, but the problem is they had to have about 613 gold stars in order to be right with God. So they had 613 laws in this time that they had to follow. If they wanted to achieve righteousness, if they wanted to be good, if they wanted to make it, they had, okay, 613 gold stars to put on that board. They were all about just making sure that happened. They were all about, I'm going to put my report card on the fridge so everyone can see. That was the culture. That was the culture here. And Jesus says, stop it. Because that's exhausting, is it not? Because people were probably like, man, this system is jacked up. This is impossible. People are like, this is impossible. How am I supposed to do that? This is crazy. And it wears them down. And now all of a sudden, I'm not like doing any of these things. I'm not trying to get all these gold stars because I want to be obedient to God and love him. I'm just scared. I'm just fearful. I'm just stressed. And so in a culture of just stressful and religious performance and trying to earn salvation, Jesus says, you tired of that? You kind of done with that system? Well, guess what? I'm here to change things. Come to me. And he knocks on the door of everyone's heart in that moment. He says, let me in. He didn't say, come to me if you've spiritually arrived. I'm trying to put together this all-star team of Christians. Come to me if you're on Varsity Christianity. Come to me if you're level 9 and you just need a little bit of a boost to level 10. Okay, sweet. Now I've got you. All right, let's go change the world. He's not saying that. He's like, you spiritually bankrupt? That's who I'm after. And he has a promise. This is the third part. He has a promise. Jesus' promise is rest. He says, if that's you, I'm here to give you some rest. And I'm not here to just give you a power nap. I'm here to give you rest for your soul. I'm going to give you rest. He says, you busted up, you broken, get in here. Life's a mess, get in here. I've got some incredible peace and joy waiting for you. All you got to do is open the door and let me in. And Jesus knocks. I mean, let's now step away from the story for a second. Jesus is constantly knocking on our door. He's constantly knocking on our door. He does it through a sermon. He does it through a song. He does it through a good friend. Maybe he does it through a godly example or whatever, but he's constantly knocking. Maybe we don't see it. He's constantly knocking. Exactly, it's exactly what he's doing. Actually, if you go to Revelation 3, verse 20, the very last book of the Bible, Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and I'm knocking it. And if anyone hears my voice and they open the door, I'll come in and I will eat with that person and they with me. I'm going to come in and I'm going to eat with that person. And what that means is I'm going to enjoy fellowship. I'm going to get to know you. I want you to know me. He's just saying, I'm here. I'm here. And how do we find this rest though? He says this in verse 29, you take my yoke. You take my yoke. Now it's not a egg yolk, right? It's this. This is what a yoke was in the culture back then, and even still today, they have these as they use for farming. All right, so those are two big oxen. Now that like wooden frame that's kind of strapped around their neck and holding those two together, the farmer would have some sort of control over this yoke. And what that is so what they're dragging, maybe like a plow, or they're dragging something, or they're carrying something. And this is just so they don't piece it and go in different directions. If one wants to go that way, it can't because it's staying together. And it's a really cool example of what Jesus is using a metaphor here. He's like, take my yoke. Allow me to connect myself with you and so I can guide you in this life. I'm not going to be overbearing. I'm not going to be over-controlling. I'm not just going to abuse you. I'm not going to yank you left and right. But he does have a point, because a lot of times we will want to go right when he's saying go left. We will want to go left when he's saying go right. But this yoke, he's saying, if you connect yourself with me, I will guide you in love. And it's a symbol of obedience. He's saying, are you tired? Are you exhausted? Do you feel like you're done? And strap on this yoke. Let me in. Allow me to do the work in your life. Come to me, all who are weary and are burdened. Once again, if you have a pen, the word says all. And I'm not advocating you to cross out words in the Bible, but maybe above all, write your name. Because that's a specific personal invitation here. Let's make this a personal thing for a second. Come to me, blank. Come to me, write your name down. Let's just say right now that things are great. Maybe you walked in one of those doors and like you're not feeling like life's a mess. You're not feeling like your life's about to just blow up right in front of you. But what if things are good? What if you feel like things are blessed? And just know, though, that brokenness is chances are brokenness will come. Chances are that there's something will come. Chances are there's a crack somewhere inside you. And it's only a matter of time before something will break. Chances are there's some leak that you just don't see. There's some rust that's eating away at something. And it's only a matter of time before something goes wrong. This invitation is there. Jesus, in that moment, will knock. And he'll say, okay, let me in. It's almost like this RSVP. If we're going to run with this invitation theme, it's an RSVP. You're going to say no. You're going to say, I'm good. Got it from here. You're going to say maybe, which we all know in the Facebook world is still no. Maybe not now. I'll check my calendar. That's a no. Maybe he's knocking and you're looking through the people and you're like, oh, that's Jesus. Hey, that's Jesus. Next time. Or maybe you just kick open that door. Get in. I need some help. Get in. I need some rest. Get in. This burden is heavy, man, and you're jacked. You can handle it, okay? Please take it. May that be your RSVP to his invitation. This Friday, we're gonna celebrate recovery, and all of the incredible things that has happened from it. How God has faithfully worked in that ministry and in this church. And on Friday night at 7:00, we're like inviting the whole church to just pack that worship center, and we're gonna just hear stories and testimonies and sing. And it's just gonna be an amazing night. It's just gonna be this like the greatest party you could think of in that sense. And so we want you guys to come. We want you to not only check out the landing on Fridays, but this Friday specifically, it's called A Decade of Courage. It's going to highlight some of the amazing things, like I said. So please come at the worship center at 7:00. You don't got anything going on better than that on this Friday. I'm telling you that right now. So I'm going to invite the band up, and we're going to sing one more song. And in this song, it's got a lyric that says, "You make beautiful things out of dust." Now, in Genesis 2, in Genesis 2, it actually says how a human being was created. And God took dust, and he went, Adam, right? Makes sense. He took dust, and he just blows, and it's a a human. And then he takes a rib from Adam. He goes, here, let me take that. Takes a rib from Adam, takes some dust, Eve. And it's kind of funny if you think about it, but it's actually beautiful. He takes dust and he creates a human. And a human is created in his image. And so a human is beautiful because God is beautiful and magnificent and incredible. And so is a human. And so within that, like, unbelievable moment where he takes dust and he creates Adam, we see a picture of God's redemption and God's working and his just masterful, incredible working in hearts. Like in the incredible things that you heard today in these testimonies. And so we're going to sing a song that talks about that. And so as we sing it, may you rejoice in the fact that God takes brokenness, he takes dust, he takes these things that you would think don't have any hope, and he creates beauty out of it. And that's your life. So let's sing that. Let's stand and let's sing.